Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us today. Show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. Find out why they have so many long-time customers. You, too, will be one as well. Very pleased to be joined by the head basketball coach at Bucknell, Dave Paulson. Dave, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Oh, great to be on, Steve.
Let's talk about the Penn State game last week. The effort that your kids put forward, you had a great mix on that game Wednesday night. What were some things that just stuck out to you about road effort?
Well, I think, you know, our guys showed a lot of resilience and toughness. Penn State played very, very well offensively as well. I mean, it was a game that was played at a high level, and it wasn't like either team wasn't trying to play defense. I mean, we were both working hard defensively, and we couldn't get stops at all in the first half, but our guys didn't, you know, they didn't hang their heads. They stayed with the process. We talked in the halftime about just trying to, you know, earn back 2 points every four-minute media round, and our guys did that and made free throws, so we showed a lot of poise, I thought, and obviously made a lot of shots, which doesn't hurt.
And also, what about the ability of Steven Casper, Dave, to control the tone and flow of the game, especially in the second half?
I mean, Steven was nothing short of remarkable at Penn State. He was almost that good at Stanford. Those are the types of things that he's shown in glimpses earlier in it, his freshman, sophomore year. He's always had the ability to make the home run play. But sometimes you swung for the fences, you know, a little bit too indiscriminately. And he's really found a way to kind of pick his spots, play with that swagger and that flair, but to limit, you know, his mistakes and his turnovers. And he controlled the game. There's no question about it. He scored at the rim. He knocked out a three. He made free throws. And then when they helped, he found the open guy.
The next part is you had to then come back against Robbie Krimmel's team at St. Francis. Did you see a team, your team, grow a little bit, even in a game where they were, quote, the prohibitive favorite?
Well, yeah, you know what? I think we went out and we did what we were supposed to do. We played well. In stretches, we played very well. In stretches, we didn't play great. But I think we were completely locked in and focused. I told our guys, you know, before the game, I'm a voter in the USA Today Top 25 poll, and I couldn't vote for Michigan State number one. You know, I said I wasn't going to do it because they beat Kentucky, and they just about lay an egg against Columbia until the final end. And I'm like, you just can't tell me that Michigan State was ready and locked in and focused. And I would say that, you know, while our performance wasn't flawless, our guys were ready and locked in and focused. And that's what we need to have every single night we hit the floor.
Now you get St. John's. Steve Lavin has come back, and not only that, but he's got a team that has some athleticism to him. When you face a team, and you've had to do this many times in your career, what are some of the important things when you go against a team that is athletic on the floor?
Well, there's athletic, and then there's St. John's. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they're off the charts.
They are freakish. You know, I thought we had an athletic disadvantage against Stanford, and we were in an athletic disadvantage against Penn State, I felt. But we are at a big-time athletic disadvantage against St. John's. I think the biggest thing is you can't get beat in transition. You got to make teams like that face the set defense every single time. You know, I think the other thing that you got to do is you got to keep them off the glass, which is easier said than done. And then you just can't have turnovers or quick empty possessions that lead to runouts. You know, and I think those things are hard. And a team like St. John's, they block shots at such a high rate. So we really got to be mindful of that. You know, we don't want our guys to play cautiously, but you take a shot at the rim that gets rejected, that leads to the fast break opportunities.
Yeah, Obika already has five block shots this year. They got 13 overall. For you, matchups, will you sit down and go, okay, I'm going to match up X against X against X. How difficult are the matchups against this team, whether it's Sanchez or Pointer or Green or Jamal Branch or whomever?
They're all difficult. They're all challenging. And then we have to really rely on our team defense. And up to this point, you know, and this is the thing, when you're giving up some athleticism, you have to make some conscious decisions what you might be willing to give up. Going into this game, St. John's is shooting 8% from three right now.
Yeah.
So we're going to give that up. But if you give it up too much, you know, also they make a few. And, you know, so it's a double-edged sword because they're obviously a better three-point shooting team than what they are at right now. But, you know, that's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have, you know, one guy's not going to be assigned, and we're going to have four or five guys packing the paint and making them shoot over us.
There are two people in this interview right now. That is exactly how many threes St. John's has made this year.
Yeah.
How about that one? And Harrison is 1-for-11 in threes and is averaging 26 points a game. I mean, that's scary.
No, they're not playing well, and they play really, really poorly against Wisconsin, and Wisconsin can do that to you. They play much better against Wagner. And that's the thing, they're not even close to clicking on all cylinders.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully they'll just wait, you know, a couple more days before they start clicking. But they're just really, really dangerous. And we don't want to awaken the sleeping dog, if you will.
Right.
But that's what we're going to have to do. And they're going to make, I would guarantee you, they'll make more than 2 3-pointers against us because we're going to make them shoot. A lot of them, you know, and that's going to be, that's our goal anyway. We haven't practiced yet today, so whether or not we do what we say we want to do, but that's our goal, is make them shoot threes, and then we got to really keep them off the glass.
There's another part to this, too. Obviously, you mentioned the Wisconsin part, and Wisconsin beat them, and beat them by, I think, 9, 10 points,
Yeah, 9, 10 points, right.
Yeah. Wisconsin played Florida, and the game ended up 59-53. Only Bo could take the new rules and produce a 59-53 game. Only Bo could do that, Dave.
Yeah, he can do it. He can do it. He's one of the best out there. He's been one of the best forever, and he's got guys that, you know, that can really execute his system and his style. And you know, but we saw, what was it? Was it Ohio State Marquette 51-35 or something the other day? So I think scoring is up in the most part. But there's still going to be the physical, defensive-minded games. And then there's going to be some stinkers early in the season when just teams aren't, you know, playing at a very high rate offensively.
All right, let's talk philosophy for a moment, Dave. You brought up the rules. Give me an idea of the adjustment you've had to make as a coach on rules, and have the rules affected personnel, that maybe there's a guy who normally plays a more physical brand, that's his style, that you've maybe shied away from because you're like, geez, the rules have taken that kid out of the game.
Well, it's interesting, Steve, because a lot of people ask me what was the biggest adjustment when I came from Division III to Division I. And early in my career, I had to change how I coached, and we had to emphasize playing more physically. Because in Division III, the game is called a lot more like how they want the game called now. And I've always been a big advocate, just don't foul. You know, if you don't give up transition baskets, you don't give up second shots, you don't put teams on the foul line, you're going to have a chance. But we had to learn how to play a little more physically without fouling. And now we have to dial it back a little bit, more to the way that I coached defense probably 4, 5, 6 years ago, early here at Bucknell and before. I do think a guy, you know, potentially, if we can learn to play a little more discipline, the rule changes might help us because we tend not to get the biggest, strongest guys. I mean, some of our guys look like they're 12 years old out there physically. like a guy like Steven Casper, the fact that people aren't supposed to be able to hand check him, if the game's about clever, he's going to have a chance. If the game's about brute strength, you know, that's not going to necessarily be Steven's advantage. So I'm hopeful. A team like us that tries to play smart and share the ball and shoot the ball and and be in position that hopefully the rule changes will actually be beneficial to us at some point down the road.
Interesting answer. Very interesting. Dave, best of luck. I know you have practice you have to get to, plus you have to get to Queens anyway. So thank you so much for the time you gave us today. Congrats on a really good start. Best of luck tomorrow night.
All right, thanks, Steve. Take care.
Dave Paulson, head basketball coach at Bucknell. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a Ford Explorer XLT, perfect for a family of four, just $21,998. 2010 Ford Focus, great one-owner vehicle, $12,599. 2008 Jeep Liberty Limited, just $18,994. A beautiful Lincoln Mark LT, new brakes and tires, only $28,495. And a like-new 2012 Ford Mustang Boss, as fast as it looks, lowest price promise, just $44.99. Call 570-286-7746.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive and see what your trade is worth, too, at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Once again, a public service announcement that we have to make before we move forward on today's show, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Kevin will be at the Danville game on Friday night.
As a fan.
Public service message of this station and the Ad Council.
As a fan.
Make your, I mean, so for anybody who would like to sit on the Troy side, go ahead.
I would imagine Troy's going to have a nice contingent of fans coming down for that game because Troy has played some really good football this year.
They're obviously, right. They're in the district title game.
Well, so they've got some size. They've got some size. They've got some speed. And had three sacks of Montoursville's starting quarterback in the first half last week in the minor upset. A lot of people were shocked by that. I was not. That was my upset special, by the way. Not that anybody cares.
That's the difference between you and me. I had no upset specials.
Not that anybody cares, but...
Then why'd you mention it?
Because I care. And Reichle laughed when I said that to him Friday morning.
Oh, Reichle laughed at you?
He did. And I reminded him this morning that I was right. He goes, yeah, well, you called it.
Wow. Huh. But see how cold it's going to get over the weekend? Wow.
What is the temperature?
Well, Saturday should be okay.
Yeah.
Saturday should be okay.
Okay. What about rain Friday night?
Oh, geez, Friday night.
Well, excuse me, Mr. AccuWeather. I figure you had it right in front of you.
Chance of a PM shower.
Ah. I don't want rain.
What?
Well, in high school fields where they don't have turf, if it rains enough, they have a tendency to postpone games, even playoff games. And I'd rather not see the game get moved to Saturday.
Well, here's my advice. Gut it out and play. I mean, really,
you're
going to
get no argument with me, but...
I mean,
and you know what,
football.
Though? It is the last... I mean, I can understand in mid-season... There's a lot of people that come up to me and goes, why do they cancel high school games because of rain? Listen, the simple explanation is it tears up the field. And schools don't have the money to fix a field the way college and pro teams do. I mean, they don't have a turf. Help me out, Steve. What's the word I'm looking for? People
turf
that take
management.
Care of the. Yeah, thank you. They don't have a turf management team.
Groundskeeper.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. They don't have a groundskeeper. They just have the regular maintenance crew that takes care of the turf the best they can. So they don't like ripping up the turf. But this is the last game that will be played at Ironman Stadium this year, so it may not matter as much as it would be if it was like week six of the regular season.
Look, I just looked at the advanced forecast, okay? Hour by hour.
Okay.
This is Friday.
All right.
3 o'clock, 50 degrees, cloudy.
Okay, that's good.
49, 47, 47, 45, 43, up to 9 o'clock, 44, all cloudy.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, it's all cloudy.
So I don't need a poncho, but I will need my parka.
Yeah. Well, your parka. Man up. So, I mean, that's the deal.
Not wearing my Under Armour.
That brings with it an entire different set of commentary. let's see. Penn State plays 3:30 Saturday, 44, start of the pregame, 42 at 4 o'clock, 39. See, then it gets cold. 39 at 5, 39 at 6, 37 at 7, 34 when it's time for a refreshing aperitif at 8 o'clock.
Can you look up Lexington, Virginia?
No, I'm not going to bother. And then...
Thanks. Appreciate that.
You want a computer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, look it up. I'm going to do that for you. Are you nuts?
Aware of what you're, you know, worried about you.
I gave you what Friday night at Danville is going to be like.
Yeah, only after you begrudgingly did it. I mean, there's gonna be, there might be some people that are making the trip to Lexington from this area.
Absolutely, and I hope they both enjoy it. It's not going to be. I've been to Lexington. It's an absolute Lexington, Virginia. It's a gorgeous area.
There are two Lexington, Virginia? Oh, okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
It's a gorgeous area. And if you want to go to, is it Washington and Lee College?
I'll take your word for it.
It's where I believe Robert E. Lee is buried there, and the horse is buried there, too.
Traveler
is buried there. Now, tomorrow is an important day in the history of the country. Tomorrow is the anniversary of the 150th anniversary of the Gettysburg Address. So there you go.
Looks like chance of a couple of showers, high 56.
Fine. You won't need your parka.
No, that's not bad.
Nah, you won't need your parka. You'll be up at the press box. You and Doug will be, you know, sipping Mai Tais.
Oh, no, great. Doug will be on his way to Albany for basketball on Saturday.
Oh, so you're doing this game.
I have this game, yes.
Oh, well done. Good. And Jersey Shore won. Danville won. Danville's got Troy. Kevin's already scared about Troy. He's probably already watched tape.
No, that'll be tonight.
What?
No. I'm not watching it with him. I may watch it for my own benefit, but no.
Why?
The boys. The boys
are
watching.
Why would you watch it? Why would you watch it?
Because I do. All right, I just do.
Why?
Because
you watch it. There's a live game on tonight. Okay, the live game is going to be Carolina and New England. Okay?
I didn't say I was going to watch it instead of the Monday night game.
Rake leaves. Do something. Okay, get yourself out there and active. All right.
I will the rest of the week. This is the one. I'll just spend about a half hour. I'll watch the highlights and
half an hour.
Yeah, that's all I need.
It's a high school game. What are you doing?
It's just a half an hour.
Like, later in the week, I'll watch a little bit of Nebraska tape, like a quarter's worth. Okay, why? Because I'm announcing the game. Okay? All right.
I haven't seen Troy. That's the thing. I'd like to know... I mean, I haven't seen Troy nor... It's one of those Northern Tier teams that you only hear about. And there's this ongoing discussion and comment that has followed Northern Tier teams for decades down here, is don't fear the Northern Tier. I want to know if... I think there is a little bit of something to be concerned about with this team. And I want to... They seem pretty big in the few highlights that I've seen. They seem pretty quick, too. I'd like to know if there's a resurgence of football in the Northern Tier now.
How can you tell?
Well, it's been a while since a Northern Tier team has come down this way. And
yes, but how can you tell?
How can I tell what?
What team are they playing, Canton?
Let's see. Well, no, it depends. I don't know. Probably Montoursville.
Like the tape I'm watching is Nebraska, Michigan State. I know how good Michigan State is.
Well, yeah. I mean, it'll most likely... Montoursville is the game that I'll be looking at.
You know what the most important part of any game is? Matchups. It's all about matchups. I don't care whether it's basketball, football, hockey, baseball. What are the matchups? Okay. That's why Team A can beat Team B, B can beat C, but C beats A. Because for whatever reason, C matches up better than A than B does. Okay, but when B plays C, B wins because there's certain things that they match up better at. It's all about matchups. You can't tell on tape who they match up with on Danville.
No, you're right.
So why don't you like put your feet up and enjoy yourself?
Because that is enjoyable to me. I watch a lot of high school football. I enjoy it. That is enjoyment to me. Did you quit?
Boy. I'm thinking of it. Most people like go to the beach.
Listen, if it was July, I'd be gone.
Makes me long for it.
Is it time for you to take a vacation, sir?
No, I'm in for the long haul.
Super.
Glad you agree.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Anything you want to know about Troy football, give a call.
Not yet. Wait till tomorrow.
We got one guy that's seen every play.
Wait till tomorrow.
Our thanks to Dave Paulson for being on the show. The hit that Brooks put on Drew Brees yesterday, did that bother you?
I don't think I saw that.
Turning point of the game. Tony Corrente threw the flag and said that the hit was to the neck area. And all he did was fly in from the side. And, yeah, he got Brees, and it looked violent. To be frank with you, I think part of what I saw was that on the way down to the ground, he actually had a little bit of the face mask. He did not have the face mask when he hit him. But just on the follow-through with his arm, I think he got a little bit of the face mask on the way down. So that's, to me, that would have been the part I would have looked at. But Corrente can't see that from where he is because he was in the back of the play. And the bottom line is this. They are doing everything they can to protect quarterbacks. A hit like that. Look, let's be frank here. Do you want to see Derek Anderson against Ryan Mallett tonight? Or do you want to see Cam Newton against Tom Brady?
I'd rather see Newton and Brady, but that's just me.
Right. But in order to make that happen, you have to open the door to make sure the Newtons and the Bradys stay healthy as long as they can. Look at Green Bay. They're a shell of themselves without Aaron Rodgers. They're shells of themselves. They don't have Aaron Rodgers. They don't have Randall Cobb. And they can't win. They can't win right now. So you can talk about the most popular guy in town being the backup quarterback. I don't think so. Okay? The most popular guy in town is the backup quarterback when you have a lousy team.
On a struggling team, yes.
When you have a good team, no way. No way. Fans do not want to see, and especially when you get into a game which you're looking for not just Carolina and New England fans to watch in order to gain a rating. You have to have people across the country watching. Casual fans, fans who love the league, just want to see a good game, whatever, where you have some intrigue to it. Carolina and New England brings with it the cachet of Cam Newton and Tom Brady. Sunday night, it's going to be the Broncos, Peyton Manning, the Patriots, Tom Brady. Do you think that might draw a rating? I mean, that's going to draw a better rating than Brock Osweiler and Ryan Mallett. And it really bugs you, I know who the backup quarterbacks are.
No, at this point, I would be disappointed if you didn't.
Now, if we need to know who the backup quarterback is for Troy, you've seen him on tape.
No, I don't know who it is.
So you're watching nameless and baseless guys?
Sorry I even mentioned it.
Yeah, it's okay. You mentioned everything. You're an open book. People have no idea the texts I get from you, what an open book you are.
No argument. I am. I am.
Your wife knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah. No, I can't deny.
Okay, but that's what people want to see. They don't want to see... Kirk Cousins is a marvelous story. Redskins fans want to see RG3. And this RG3 season is one of those just file it into the wastebasket kind of seasons. Next year will be the make-or-break year for Robert Griffin III, because next year, when he starts the season, he will be 19 months removed from his surgery. At that point, he has his jump back. He will have worked out properly in the offseason as opposed to just working on rehab during the offseason and so forth. There are a lot of things, dominoes, because he is not even 1 year removed from the surgery he had. I had a nice talk. Michael Motti came over to see Jack and me on Friday night before the Minnesota game. The Vikings played on Friday night. And so, you know, Jack was asking about some of the concepts the Vikings were running and so forth. And he asked about his health, and he said, my health is pretty good. I said, and that's what I said to him. I said, well, Mike, I said, how refreshing is it going to be in the offseason to work out with the idea you're working out for next season and not having to rehab that thing? He goes, oh, my God. He says, it's going to make all the difference in the world. Well, that's what Robert Griffin III is facing. He actually will go through the offseason, OTAs and everything that goes with it, where he is concentrating again on being the quarterback of the Redskins instead of working on that knee, getting that knee ready, and hoping he can get it ready in time to play. So the criticism of Robert Griffin III that he's getting from some quarters right now is very much unjustified by people who don't understand what he's had to go through just to be on the field this year. He's not even a year removed yet. Now, next year... Okay, next year there's no excuses on the table. No excuses on the table next year. When you're 18, 19 months removed from the surgery, you should be probably better than new. And the reason why is that you've done so much work rehabbing that area around the knee, you've also developed muscles around it. That's why you see so many pitchers do well after Tommy John surgery. They go through Tommy John surgery and they've developed through the rehab so many muscles that may not have been fully developed before around that elbow area makes a big, big difference. That's why you see them actually come back stronger from Tommy John surgery. So that's what he faces. But people, this is a quarterback-centric, quarterback-driven league. And you see it across the board. That's why I've told everyone how critical it is that Christian Hackenberg has developed as Penn State's quarterback now, because now Bill O'Brien and his staff can recruit all around him because they already have their franchise quarterback. They're not sitting there saying, oh, boy, what do we do there? That's still a big problem. What do we have? You know, who can we get in for the system? Blah, 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 blah. He's got his guy. And not only that, he's really, really good. Now, has he had some couple downs to go with the series of ups? Yeah, of course he has. That's a product of being 18 years old and being a freshman, but my, oh my, is he good. And, that's what it's all about. You know, Ohio State, it may be a different offense, but Ohio State goes as Braxton Miller goes. You got to give Kenny Guyton a lot of credit when he's been in there. All right? You know, Alabama without A.J. McCarron. What it would be like? What would Florida State be like? And I don't know. The way the investigation is, you don't know. But what could Florida State be like without Jameis Winston? What could Oregon be like without Marcus Mariota? And football is a quarterback-centric situation. And people don't want to watch the backups play. you know, it loses all its luster. I mean, look at the Green Bay since Aaron Rodgers went out. That's not the same team. They're harder to watch. So when you look at the Drew Brees hit to bring it back full circle, that's what they're trying to prevent. You know, Lambert said, hey, you know, they should all play with a dress. Well, the unfortunate part is that people don't pay money to watch Lambert play. They pay money to watch Bradshaw play. They can't win without Lambert. But even in that era, you notice when they went to Joe Gillum and Terry Hanratty? There was a little bit, or Cliff Stout. What was the drop off like?
Just said a name and it sent shivers.
The speed of the game, and especially now the speed of the game, is so tremendous. It takes the reaction of an experienced individual to really handle it. And it's funny because I've tried to relate this to students in my class. I've related what football is like versus announcing it. I've told them, you know, when there's two play-by-play assignments that they have due during the course of the semester. The second one was due today. They have to be of different sports. And I've said to them, I said, the first time you do this, it probably feels like the game goes 100 miles an hour. And everybody in the room nods. I said, but once you get some games under your belt, the game slows down. And when you have a bunch of them under your belt, it slows down exponentially. The games I call football, basketball, baseball are very, very slow motion to me. Because I know what to watch for, where, why, tricks, so forth. You know what I mean? Little things like that. It's the same thing that happens with a player. So that's why when I talk to a player about the game slowing down for them, I know what it's like in my business when it slows down. And that's what happens with them. The game goes 1,000 miles an hour, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, now I've been out there a few times. Okay, now you start reading your keys differently. Now you start understanding what the key means. Now you know what the coach means when he says this. Well, for quarterback, same story. Each level you go to, high school, then to college, then to the pros. The game, when you make the move from one level to the next, goes 100 miles an hour. The great ones, it slows down to about 5 to 10 miles an hour quickly. The ones who aren't great, it takes a lot longer. It's still too fast for them. That's why you're a backup quarterback in the league. You're a backup quarterback in the league because you're behind somebody more experienced, and also the game has not slowed down to 5 to 10 miles per hour as it does for Drew Brees, as it does for Aaron Rodgers, as it does for Peyton Manning, as it does for Tom Brady, Roethlisberger, Eli Manning, Matthew Stafford, Matt Ryan, as much as Russell Wilson, Andrew Luck. I mean, these are the upper crust quarterbacks in the league across the board. You see what happened with a Matt Schaub when things finally went sour and he digressed a bit. Suddenly, they're a 2-win football team. So they put these rules in specifically to protect quarterbacks. Was it the right call to make? Yeah, because it's trying to discourage something even worse the next time through. And I know Kevin says the backup quarterback's the most popular guy in town, but not exactly giving Scott Tolzien a parade in Green Bay today. They're admiring the fact that he's hanging in there. They're begging for Aaron Rodgers to come.
Yeah, but when I say that, I'm talking about on a team whose starting quarterback is struggling, or a team in general who's struggling, not on a team who has an established quarterback like an Aaron Rodgers. No, you're absolutely right. Nobody's Kevin, getting excited to see the third-string quarterback on that team.
Kevin, there is no quarterback controversy on a team with less than 5 wins.
See, I disagree with you because I think that's where there is a quarterback controversy, because the fans would like to see anything that would change things. And if you have a quarterback that all of a sudden starts winning, they believe that that's the reason that's the reason their team is winning, is the quarterback change.
Okay. Here's one for you. Okay.
All right.
Okay. If you have two mediocre ones, you've got no good ones. You need to find one that can play. If you have two mediocre ones, you have no quarterback. You can controversy it all you want. You can controversy it until the cows come home. They have the same record as San Diego. San Diego doesn't have a quarterback controversy, nor should they. Phillip Rivers may make some mistakes, but there's no doubt who the quarterback is. Now you're filling around him. Oakland has no quarterback. Okay? Now, McGloin may go through and have a great run to close the year. Now you got to start seriously considering him once you've had an entire body of work, what you see. But, you know, when you have two, you have none. When you have one really, really good one, you've got something. No question about it. Yeah, for McGloin, it's going to take a little. You know, McGloin, if he can put together a body of work, maybe you can convince him that he's the guy. But he needs a body of work and not one game. Buzz from Northumberland. Hi, Buzz.
Steve, I was listening to you talk about the speed of the game, and it reminded me of a few years ago. I read an article about Wayne Gretzky. And I'm not a hockey fan, but I thought it was really interesting because the writer felt that the reason that Gretzky was so good is that the game was slower for him, that he saw the puck moving at a lot slower speed than the other players did.
And see what happened. Yeah, I've heard that. No question, Buzz. I've heard that. And not only that, because of that, you know where all the chess pieces are, whether it's the ice or a court or a field. Because when the game slows down for you, suddenly, as a quarterback, you see what the two safeties are doing. In other words, you can read the corner, outside linebacker, safety triangle. You can read it.
So, my question then, in your comment, do you think that that's the thing in any sport that makes the great ones great? Is it for them and for them only they achieve that psychology of the game slowing down for them but not everybody around them?
Well, I think, first of all, athleticism enters into it and natural gifts.
Well, of course, yeah.
Yeah, the natural gift of a Christian Hackenberg, the natural gift of a Michael Jordan or a LeBron James and so forth, or a Gretzky. But Gretzky, while having some natural gifts, was not the fastest hockey player and so forth. Mm-hmm. But I do think the ability to slow the game down and know where everybody else is. When you have skill combined with the game slowing down, you're right. I agree with you, Buzz. That's where greatness comes from.
That's interesting. Thank you.
Thank you, Buzz. Appreciate it. Come back with more and a full readout on the Troy football team based on tape. It's like working with your own personal high school Greg Cosell.
They run the ball well.
Fabulous. That's great. In fact, we'll have a full rundown on the Troy scouting report at 5:05 as we come back here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Kevin just invited me over his house to watch tape tonight at Troy.
I have cool, refreshing beverages if you're interested.
I have to wash my car. All right, so
in the rain.
Yes, I mean, maybe make it easier in the rain. Sure.
Unbelievable.
That's what you have planned tonight. A half hour watching Troy run the option.
That's what it appears they do.
And you get what out of this?
I don't know. It makes it lets me know that.
There we go. that sums it up.
You I don't just know, like watching don't high it. School football. I'm a fan of high school football.
Back to the game slowing down. Well, yes. It's been a theme of what we've been talking about.
Yeah, and I have experienced that actually myself, so I understand exactly what you're saying.
I mean, the great ones combine the great athleticism with the fact that they now have control over every facet of the game around them. They know where the other chess pieces are. In basketball, where the other four guys are supposed to be, the five guys that they're facing, where they're supposed to be, how they rotate, so forth. And they can do things that wow us because to them, the game is so much slower. Gretzky knew where everybody was on the ice. Everybody. He knew where the five players on the Chicago Blackhawks were, and he knew where the other four players on the Edmonton Oilers were supposed to be. Right? And he anticipated in part because the game was slow to them. That's why he is the single most brilliant passer in the history of hockey. LeBron James, the game is so slow for him. He knows where everybody is. That's why he goes, boom, he can make a flip pass over the shoulder to somebody. He can take it to the bucket himself. He can read it. He sees it. He believes it. And he just does it. Quarterbacks, the great ones for the most part, they know where all the chess pieces are. All the chess pieces are. Every play. Manning, Breeze, Brady, they know where the other 21 chess pieces are. Maybe the second tier guys probably have a good handle on 15 to 17 of them. You know, that's what makes them the second tier. It's still pretty good. The ones that have great athletic ability, right? You know, and I'll give you an example of a young man here. Rob Bolden had great athletic ability, and I want to tell you right now, Rob Bolden threw a beautiful ball. But I'm telling you right now, he knew where 5 to 8 chess pieces were in the field at all times. He knew where 5 to 8 chess pieces were, max. And because he didn't have a handle on the other 13 to 16, that really affected his decision making and made him panic at times. Because things were happening too fast. The game never slowed down for him, which is a shame because, I mean, you like him. You wanted him to succeed in the whole deal. But the game for McGloin was much slower for him. That's why he could handle it and get in there and make things happen. That's the difference between some guys sometimes. Even someone of lesser athletic ability, if the game is slow to them, they can make things happen because they can anticipate, get that extra step. Makes a big difference. Ryan Kaiser is really a very good college safety because he sees it, believes it, and makes a play because he picks up a step and a half because he knows it.